You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to Bison Report Radio, brought to you by Big Deck Barbecue and Herd and Horns, our good friends over at Herd and Horns. This is a basketball podcast, and for that, we have my guy, Nate Zastro. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Had a nice long week of work, but got to see a couple of Bison victories, and all's going well. So let's get to the weekend and get another road win and send these seniors off the right way next week.
Yeah, because we've got some big-time news. Bison Report basketball analyst Nate Zastro is actually going to analyze some basketball this weekend in St. Paul.
Looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've actually gotten to see him in person. Obviously didn't get to last year with it mostly being a COVID year, and looking forward to getting back, even if it's not at the new shack. I'm actually going there next Thursday as well for the Oral Roberts game. Sorry to break the news.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing a couple games live and seeing this team continue to progress and make a push in the standings.
We're going to have to remember to apply for a credential for you, because I would have forgotten if you didn't say something. A little behind the scenes there. Your guy Ross, not always that, you know, mindful. Okay, hopping into the news. We broke the news that Cordell Volson's excellent performance at the East-West Shrine Bowl in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, earned him a spot at the NFL Combine, joining other guys from the Dakota schools, Matt Wiletzko from UND, Pierre Strong, and of course, his college teammate, Christian Watson. Very, very impressive stuff for Cordell. We are incredibly happy for him. Obviously, a tremendous Bison, the Chief Ram, and close personal friend of our guy, Zach Willis. Best of luck to Cordell in Indy, and as well to C-Dub. We are cheering for them for sure. Folks, just so you know, we're going to do a cool little video on social and stuff, but Championship Gold pre-order sauce coming on Monday. The pre-order, the production is complete. We are doing bottling. We're going to be ready to move some product, man. And we're very, 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 very excited about this. But Championship Gold pre-orders dropping on Monday. Potentially doing something super fun on Tuesday with Championship Gold as well. Just waiting on some approvals there. Let you know if that's going to be a thing on social media. Something a little bit interesting, at least to me, is that Noah Friedel got some garbage time against Denver. They had been, I believe he was the Summit League Athlete of the Month in December. And then, as part of kind of his journey with South Dakota State, struggling with some off the court stuff, mentioned, you know, he had some mental health things going on. And I don't know what the deal is with South Dakota State. Nobody does. Matt Zimmer doesn't. He's on their beat. He covers them every day. Nobody knows what the deal is, but man, they had been blowing people out and emptying the bench. And there had been Friedel sitting, chilling, not being involved, and gets in against Denver, jacks up two threes and makes them both in trash time. So that's a scary proposition. South Dakota State team that is undefeated in league play, has beaten NDSU twice, has beaten Oral Roberts once, and could potentially be getting their best player off the end of the bench. I mean, I know what people feel about Shireman and Wilson, but Friedel is a dude and has always been a dude. And so that is, you know, news that is at least, like I said, interesting to me. All right, Nate, let's talk about the Summit standings. Let's announce, you know, South Dakota State as conference champions, because I just, there's not, you know, because I think, you know, we both believe NDSU is going to win out and get to 14-4, but there aren't four losses coming for the Jacks. That you know, it just isn't happening. So after that, you start to look at matchups. You start to look at, you know, if NDSU does win their last four, which they'll be favored in all of them, including what you would really consider two layups. They're on the road, but the worst and second worst teams in the Summit League are St. Thomas and UND. The Bison should be able to scrape those two. So as long as they can win at home against ORU, win at home against UMKC, they are going to be 14-4 and the number two seed. Now you start to look at, okay, who does that mean that you face in the tournament? And that, Nate, I think is a little bit interesting. And you and I just both mentioned, you can go ahead here. You probably want to avoid this Western team that scares the hell out of the Bison, but is somehow only 5-8 in league.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. It's all about matchups sometimes with some of these teams, and Western, I think, matches up really well with NDSU. I mean, they're sitting at 5-8, Denver's 5-9. You're looking at Western's schedule, and they have UND at home on Saturday, but then they go to both South Dakota schools, which will be potentially two losses there. So you never know what could happen. I don't think that that's a team we really want to face in that 2-7 matchup. But also Denver played us tough as well, and we're up one on South Dakota State last night with 16 minutes left before they got blown out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're looking at that 2-7 matchup, and even – if somehow it's the 3-6 matchup, it could be another game with Western. If NDSU doesn't take care of business, I do think if they win these next four, it's obviously going to be the two, and Denver's just, I mean, their schedule is not very favorable either. They got South Dakota at home. They do play at Omaha and St. Thomas and then at Western to end. So three road games, and their last home game is tomorrow. So we'll see how it shakes out. It usually plays out how it's supposed to, but NDSU's just got to worry about them and not worry about what matchup they necessarily have going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And then looking, you know, at kind of the Monday, the potential, I guess, Monday opponents, you know, you'd be looking at a rematch with ORU, and hey, if you are theoretically giving the Bison, you know, that victory in Fargo, that would be trying to beat Oral Roberts and Max Asmus for a third time. The advantage, of course, being that NDSU would be on 2 days rest and Oral Roberts would be on one. But you're looking at a potential ORU matchup. And again, you're looking at that chance that you maybe see Western on Monday night, which I don't think any Bison fan would love.
No, and I know NDSU had a big run, and it looked like they were extremely motivated, got stops, looked good offensively, went up 16, but that matchup in Fargo, Western really had their way, and Mazur's a tough matchup for them. Those two bigs have been tough matchups for them. I don't like the way the low post was officiated last night, and from what I could tell from the film, it looked even worse. I'm watching it again. Rob Jeter's done a great job. He's gotten some decent players in there, and it's not your typical Western that we've seen from previous years, even though they might still end up being in that 6-7 seed range. But they're a dangerous team, and selfishly, you kind of want to avoid them first round,
because
I think they can beat anyone in the Summit League.
Yeah, I think they can, and oddly enough, and I know, you know, it's a season sweep, and I think that makes sense, but you know, I feel a little bit more comfortable even with USD than I do with Western, just because so much, in my opinion, depends on how Barisic is officiated. Very, very, very physical guy. On offense, you know, will throw his ass into you, will throw his shoulder into you. Rocky, you know, hit the deck once, but like, I don't know if you can maybe shed some light on this. For me, and maybe I'm just a Bison, you know, homer and whatever, but it really seems to me like North Dakota State is pretty much taught to stay on your feet. You know, that they don't do a ton of flopping, in my opinion. So I don't know if that's something that's coached or not, but they take these big shots from Barišić as he backs. I mean, he backed Grant Nelson down basically from the top of the key. Now, he missed the shot, but he backed him down that hard. And you know, after the third ass bump, if you will, I think if Nelson hits the deck the way that they were officiating that, they'd probably call a charge. But it just seems to me like the Bison are taught to stay on their feet.
With the new flop rules, it's always interesting. So, obviously, I thought Western guys a couple times, and from what I saw with your clips, I mean, they didn't even take it in the chest. And the whole thing with the flopping is you want a guy to create a clear advantage. And we weren't really ever taught to flop or obviously we taught proper technique to take a charge, but usually in that low post, you take one hit and you're walling up at the rim. Usually by that second or third one, you're taking it in the chest and taking a charge. So I thought Rocky could have taken a couple of them from what I saw, but it's crazy. Officials don't seem to look at the build of some of these guys and the way they fall when they try to take a charge. A charge is supposed to be a dude basically creating a clear advantage with his size and strength to score or like I said, take advantage. So no, we're not taught how to flop or how to, I mean, you're taught how to take a charge, but it's definitely different in the low post. And I'm kind of glad they have the flop rules, but I don't think officials still know how to really officiate it either.
Sure. All right. This podcast brought to you by the good folks over at Herd and Horns, a phenomenal pregame destination. And, you know, I've really found with those 7 p.m. tips, like Herd and Horns is great, man. The service is fast, something I've always appreciated about them. You're not going to be waiting a ton of time for your food. So if the family wants, you know, maybe an early dinner, you go over there 5:45, something like that. Food's in your belly by 6 and you're getting over to the shack at a decent time. It's a great pregame spot. For Bison basketball on the weekends, they're going to be, you know, open after the game with these 1 p.m. tips on Saturdays, or maybe a little pregame lunch, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing better, no better spot to get in the Bison mood than Herd and Horns. It is, you know, one of my family's go-to spots. The kids love the game room a lot of the times, you know, not obviously like the claw machine and stuff like that, but a lot of the times the billiards is free, the racing games is free, big buck hunter's free. Like it's a lot of fun to take the whole family, and the menu is tremendous as well. You guys are getting this on a Friday. Shout out, school cancellation at NDSU. It's mug day. If you can get through this blizzard, it is mug day over at Herd and Horns. Just so people know, you know, as soon as NDSU cancels school, the guys, the leadership staff over at Herd and Horns is really good about taking care of everyone. So if you're ready to brave the storm, you know, you could go misbehave a little bit. Not a care in the world. Gotta love that. All right. Getting to the Western Illinois recap. Season split, man. It's important for tiebreakers. You know, I know I've complained or opined that it's odd to me that Western has given NDSU such fits and is still just 5-8 in the league. You see them get absolutely clapped by St. Thomas, and that doesn't make a sense. You look at a lot of their 8 losses and you go, how the hell did that happen? I mean, I look at Western and their home record in conference is 1-5. They're 4-3 on the road. It's crazy. Plus, to me, like, I look at Western and I look at Denver, Omaha, St. Thomas, North Dakota. To me, there's a huge gap between Western and those four teams in talent, because I think Massner's a dude. I like Barišić and I like Karius. And if you have three guys in this league, you're usually good to go, which is, you know, not to say anything about Sandage, who lit it up last night, or Tamel Pearson, who's the kind of, you know, burly big man that's a decent athlete that I've kind of wanted NDSU to have coming off the bench for years. Now, he starts for them, but I mean, that's a piece that I'd like to have if I were North Dakota State. They kind of do now in Andrew Morgan, but I think, you know, with Rocky being on his way out, they see Andrew as their starting center of the future, and then I think they should. He's a big-time kid, but that's what's weird to me is the, you know, the gap that I perceive between the bottom four and the top five in the league. But there's Western at 5-8. Now, granted, they would be 6-7, and NDSU would be 9-5, and it'd be a little bit of a different, you know, feel to that UMKC situation, USD situation, although there is a tiebreaker there. But just important to get that dub and get the season sweep. So no matter what, you're not going to be in any, you know, concern with USD and Western after those last two wins. Even if you end up tied with one of those two schools, you're good.
Yeah, I think the big tiebreaker here going into the last few weeks is going to be that UMKC Oral Roberts one. NDSU kind of has to win those two games to create either UMKC not having the tiebreaker on them or them having it on ORU. So it's an interesting matchup with UMKC. UMKC really kind of controls – I mean, all three teams kind of control what seed that they want because they all play each other here going forward. So it's going to be an interesting last few weeks, and I think things will start shaking itself out Saturday and after next Thursday's game to kind of give us an indication on where teams are going to be seated. But, yeah, definitely interesting with Western. They obviously played a bunch of guys a lot of minutes last night and proved to be just a tough matchup. I mean, they got those two low post players, and it's always tough to win it in Macomb. I mean, I know Western even had some bad teams my first few years, and it's just a tough place to play. There's not many fans there. You're in Macomb, Illinois, which has like a hotel and the Western campus, and that's about it. And the hotel was only built for opposing teams to come in. So yeah, it's always a tough place to play on the road, and they're obviously a lot better team, and we've said it already. We don't want to see them really in Sioux Falls. Give me a team like Denver or Omaha, but a team that just hasn't played as well, because Western could beat anyone from South Dakota State and lose to anyone as bad as
St. Thomas
or St. Thomas. So just an inconsistent team, but obviously a team that's very dangerous with a lot of weapons.
For sure. Slow start. They're down 12-2, shooting 100% from the field. And Greasel dropped the hammer, kind of got things situated, but definitely, you know, came out firing, made everything they looked at, and NDSU, shout out to them for the resolve. You get on a road, dead environment like that where you have to bring your own energy. You're down 12-2. They're not missing shots. Easy to feel sorry for yourself. That absolutely didn't happen, and I think that Sam Greasel hammer had a lot to do with that. That made it 12-4. They end up tying the game at 14-14, and then, you know, kind of starting the basketball game, if you will. Thought Andrew Morgan had some good minutes. Honestly thought he probably should have played more. Cruiser ended up falling out. Nelson ended up playing a ton. I thought, especially with Barisic in foul trouble, they could have taken advantage of some Nelson Morgan lineups with Western only having one big out there for a lot of the game. They were not able to have Pearson and Barisic out there a ton because of foul trouble. Thought NDSU could go with two bigs, even if Cruiser wasn't one of them. They didn't go that way. Not a huge deal, but I thought Andrew really had some good minutes, and I really like that face-up game from him, and that's going to be pretty unguardable moving forward.
Yeah, and I see him having a little bit bigger of a role as he starts getting his conditioning back. Obviously, it's a process. He's been out for a couple months. As a big guy, it seems to take always a little bit longer to get your feet. They seem to be more in a stance, post position. And I think he could be a big piece. I mean, we got a couple weeks left here to kind of get him back in the groove. It'd be nice to see him getting 12 to 15 minutes, not necessarily taken away from Rocky's minutes, but just find a way to get him onto the floor. He's a great release and outlet if the offense isn't hitting shots and you can just kind of throw it to him in the post. Similar to what we used to do with Bjorklund, when things aren't going well, you can kind of just throw it in and make sure you get a good shot. He's a good passer, and I'm looking forward to see him continue to get comfortable in there, and need some more minutes to do that.
Yeah, and I think that'll come. And Richmond said in one of the post-game press conferences, like, I have a vision for this team, and Andrew Morgan is a big part of it. And he didn't mean, like, I have a vision for this program, and Andrew Morgan is a big part of it. He said, I have a vision for this team and what this team is trying to accomplish. And I get it, man, that it's a big deal, especially you talk about a potential Tuesday night matchup with South Dakota State and the way that they can throw Dentlinger and Apple and Wilson at you. Morgan, Nelson, and Cruiser can match those guys. Now, whether NDSU's guards and wings can match all the things that, you know, Arians can do shooting the ball, and Mayo can do shooting the ball, and of course everything you get from Baylor Shireman and God forbid Noah Friedel. You know, I think you end up in a situation where you can at least match South Dakota State down low, if not probably have a little more than they have, because Apple is one of the more improved players in the Summit League this season, but he's not Grant Nelson. And Dentlinger is, you know, kind of an old an old Summit League grinder, but he's not Andrew Morgan. I mean, Andrew Morgan is a legitimate elite talent in this league and in mid-major college basketball, period.
Yeah, and he's huge for that South Dakota State match, because South Dakota State loves pounding it inside when they play NDSU. It helps when guys are in foul trouble, and it's just another body that allows NDSU to match up with them, and you got to look forward to those type of matchups, and looking forward to seeing him more. And it would be nice to, I know Rocky was in foul trouble last night, and he's going to play more than 25 minutes, but you got some guys that have played a lot of minutes here recently, and adding another piece to that rotation and depth is only going to be positive for NDSU going into the Sioux Falls tournament.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I think, you know, really getting an 8.5 that they trust is going to be incredibly important. And Grant Nelson's positional versatility is key to that. You know, his ability to play the 3, the 4, the 5, shoot, even take the ball up, cross guys up and go dunk the basketball like an absolute alien. But anyway, you know, we mentioned the flops, and that's something that has been kind of an epidemic. And it's something, you know, with as much as, you know, NDSU doesn't just post up Rocky Cruiser. Sam likes to post up. Tyree likes to post up. Nelson likes to post up. Morgan likes to post up. And I know that there have been some normal charges. And when I say normal, I mean, you know, chest, head facing the basket, driving. But NDSU has had a lot of back down charges called against them on flat out flops. And so that's why it's important, I think, as far as just how that Summit League tournament is going to be officiated. And if it's going to be officiated like last night, that's a tough look. It's when you're backing somebody down like that, and you, you know, I made the joke on BR Sniper in the Building. If you're a 260-pound, 6'11" man, and you act like someone shot you where there's barely any contact, if you're going to get a charge, you're going to continue that behavior. It's like raising kids. If they're rewarded for that behavior, they're going to continue that behavior. And I didn't love it last night the way I saw that being officiated.
Yeah, it was bad. And the thing is, I can see if a guy's being physical when he's backing someone down because he knows he's going up against a guy with the same size. But Rocky wasn't really being very aggressive backing him down. He was kind of glancing around the floor, looking to see who he might be able to hit for a shot. It's different when a guy's, yeah, like extremely backing him down and being aggressive. But that wasn't the case last night. And it stinks to see on TV. And like you said, it's a habit that if that they know they're going to get that call, they're going to keep doing it. And if they call the flop on him, well, you think he's going to do it again? No. So I wish it was officiated differently, especially last night. And yes, you overcame it. They've overcome adversity in a lot of these games where they've been down, maybe haven't gotten a great whistle at home or the road. And it's what you need an experienced group for. And they faced some pretty extreme adversity here recently. Well,
and to be honest with you, Nate, my thing about the whole deal is I get, like, I don't want to slow the game down, and neither does anybody else. I kind of wish it was reviewable. Like, or challengeable or something, you know, like on the NBA, they have challenges. Even just specifically that with the Barisic flop on Andrew Morgan, the baseline officials calling a flop warning as the trail official out of position, shouldn't be making the call, calls the charge. Richmond should be able to say, no, go look at that. Go look at what you just did.
Yeah. In the NBA, you risk losing a timeout and they go review it.
Right.
If a ref underneath the basket is debating whether to call flop warning and you don't come together, or if any official is debating a flop warning, it's probably a flop, or at least it's not an offensive foul. It's a no call or something. Yeah. It stinks. Because
of course, how many high def cameras are in Macomb? that's tough, you know, because there are leagues that are worse off than the Summit League with some of those situations, and you have to implement the same rules across all of Division I.
Yeah, and then that's obviously a big thing. And it seems like NBA players are better at selling the flop on taking it in the chest. Those charges last night on replays, like you could just, like they're flops. There's nothing around it. So,
let's see, where are we here? So offensive rebounding, the Bison, for the, all the size they have, really do struggle to clean the glass. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's obviously frustrating as you watch the game. And as a fan, anytime the other team gets an offensive rebound, I think it drives you a little nuts. But it really does seem to be an actual problem that North Dakota State is having as it pertains to just keeping the other team off the offensive glass. And they're too damn big and too damn strong, in my opinion, to allow these teams, you know, to just offensive rebound the hell out of the ball. That certainly happened last night. But, man, what a big game from Tyree Edey. Career high in points and held Massner, who lit the Shack on fire in that win by Western Illinois in January. Hey, 6 of 21 shooting for Massner. And I know Bowden helped a little bit on that, but Tyree with just a hell of a basketball game, man.
Yeah, and that's what we looked for with Tyree. And the scoring's finally coming a little bit, but he's got the strength and the size to take away a guard like Massner, and he was able to be physical with him and just made him take tough shots. I mean, Masner's still going to get his shots off. He's got kind of that weird release where he kind of has his legs kicking back, so he's not really going to get his shot blocked. But he made him take tough shots, and sometimes those go in, sometimes they don't. And I think that's kind of Western Illinois' team in a nutshell is when those shots go in, they can beat anybody. And when they don't, they're just an inconsistent team. And Tyree did a great job. He's played some really good games recently. 7 for 14 last night for 22 points is an added bonus. I love it when they're able to take advantage of smaller guards and put him in the post, and he just plays bully ball with them a little bit. Tough finish there late in the game where he uses right hand and reverse it on the left side. He's a big piece of what they want to do defensively, offensively, as a leader. And when he's playing well, it seems like NDSU is playing well as a whole.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, you know, and I think Rocky was off, and you shudder to think what this team might look like if Sam and Rocky and Tyree all played well on the same night. For whatever reason, it hasn't happened. And I get, you know, that you're not going to have 20, 20, and 20. I understand that. But, man, even if, you know, Sam just had like 14 but was efficient, rebounded the ball. Tyree had 18, was efficient, defended the ball. And Rocky got 25. Like, you'd be pretty excited about that. But it just seems like one of the big three is always kind of having an off night. Now, NDSU's in a little bit different position right now, because when you get Grant Nelson back, now you have that fourth guy. And if he gives you 19 and 11, well, it doesn't matter if somebody else had an off night. You know, you have the ability to not have to stress out about one of those three guys, you know, contributing in a big way. Mentioned the end of the regulation thing. I think, honestly, as I watch it in slow motion, probably was a body foul on Griesel, but they called it on Cruiser, which could have really screwed NDSU out of did screw them out of having him in overtime. But I mean, it could have cost them the game not having Rocky available in the overtime periods. And it just wasn't a foul on him. Again, not saying it wasn't a foul. I think you could have called the body on Griesel, but just not very well officiated. And man, I tell you what, Sam has, of course, the floater against Oral, the game winner again at home against USD after the epic comeback. But I love Grant Nelson. You know, they've had a chance to close out games against South Dakota State in the last 2 years with Rocky Cruiser not being able to get it done against Doug Wilson. And nothing against Rocky, certainly. But, you know, Grant, depending on who's guarding him, is such a mismatch, and you saw that in his ability to get to the rim, and honestly, his ability, I hope he keeps working on that step back jumper, because that's not going to be guardable in the Summit League, period.
No, I like the idea, especially with Sam and Grant. Get the matchup you want, even if you got like the little
screen and make him switch.
Get Grant ahead of steam, or even if it's Sam getting ahead of steam. I like him in a screen and roll. If you're not thinking that, and get Grant the ball in the high post, at the free throw line, and just space everyone else out and get him switched onto a smaller guard. That's going to give him even more of a matchup problem because he can get a shot off with a step back, or he just takes him down to the post and he has a multiple moves that he can.
Plus, you've got potentially efficient shooters in Jarius, Rocky, and Tyree spotting up off that action. I love it. No, I absolutely love it. All right, Nate, let's get into, we got about 12, 13 minutes left here. Let's get into a St. Thomas preview. And the number one thing for me, obviously, I think is getting that dub, but this just team just isn't ready yet. You know, they've got a Johnny Lee coming in, four-star kid, said no to Kansas State, big time deal, but A, he's one player, and B, he's not there yet. You know, this team is what it really is. And ultimately, I think the biggest thing is going to be getting a dub for the Bison, but legs and injury prevention. Sam Griesel, 48 minutes last night, plus after what probably should have been a game-winning sequence as far as putting the Bison up four, then, you know, he gets hurt. He's like amongst the cheerleaders. What an image that was. But he's hurt. And Western goes down and gets a 5-on-4 opportunity, gets a layup. If Sam doesn't hurt himself on the basket support and gets back on defense, they get a stop. They're up four with the ball. The game's over. And unfortunately, it just didn't go down that way. But I assume he's not injured or he wouldn't have finished the game. But you got kind of a banged up Sam, 48 minutes. That's Lawrence Alexander minutes. That's what that is. That's Lawrence minutes, man. And Tyree Edey with 41. I think it's going to be crucial to get time for at least Des McKinney and potentially Willie Guy, but at least Des McKinney in this matchup with St. Thomas to get these guys' bodies ready to play. And that certainly applies to Andrew Morgan. I don't know where he's at from a cardio perspective. I want to see as much Andrew Morgan as I can against these smaller dudes for UST on Saturday for a number of reasons.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They need, I think, getting out to a hot start and a great start, getting the lead a little bit. I think regardless of that, you've got to give some guys like Dez and Willie just a four-minute media run, like from one media to the next
sure.
media, where you're giving Rocky, Tyree, and Sam maybe split up their breaks a little bit to at least get them a four-minute run. See if they give you anything. You might throw them back in there for another run later in the half or second half, and it's going to be important. I mean, obviously they've played, I think they're going on their fifth game in, what did we say, 10 days coming up on Saturday. I mean, that's a lot of games, not a lot of practice, not a lot of rest, and a lot of it was on the road. So get off to a great start. You obviously are playing an opponent that you have a huge size advantage on, a strength advantage on. But as we saw with UST, and now they've lost 9 straight, but they're going to shoot a lot of threes. Anything can happen at home, and all of a sudden they start getting hot with NDSU kind of toying around with stuff and tired legs and not closing out the way they're supposed to. Definitely don't want that to happen either.
No, I mean, it'd be a terrible game to drop for sure. You know, I think we've mentioned, we think that the Bison would get the 2 seed going 4-1 over the last 5. They've got one. Go get the one at UST. and if you have to split this next deal at home, I guess you have to split it, but go get this one. Certainly. UST beat Western by 20 plus and then have lost 9 straight games. They're just not ready, and we'll talk about that. You know, moving forward, they got absolutely drilled by North Dakota State in Fargo. Couldn't shoot it over the length of the Bison. It's mostly still a MIAC roster. I mean, these 5 guys, I think they said, have basically started 3 seasons together, with the exception of the one dude who, like, was a social media influencer and decided very late that he was going to even play college basketball, which is kind of a very – you know, very cool, but a very interesting story. So they're just Division III bodies. They're very highly skilled. They probably would have been, you know, a regional or Elite Eight or a Final Four team in Division III, but they're not in Division III. They're in the Summit League.
Yeah, it's an interesting team. And I think last time, I haven't looked at their stats yet since that game, but I think like almost 50% of their shots are coming from three. And they're shooting at 36.7% right now. So you got to make them two-point shooters. If they go and want to hit a bunch of pull-up 15-foot jump shots from two, I think the only way they beat you is if they go hit 15, 18 threes, and you don't close out the way you're supposed to. So NDSU, I mean, it took them about 5-8 minutes in Fargo, and then they just realized that, hey, these guys are much smaller than us. We need to go inside. We need to take advantage. We need to make them defend. The more they have to defend, the less legs they're going to have shooting threes all game. So hopefully NDSU continues the game plan that they had from Fargo and are ready to play on Saturday, because it's obviously a game that they don't want to drop if they want the 2 seed.
100%. 100%. Got to take care of business. Got to get those dubs. As we mentioned, it's a smaller group. They struggled with NDSU's length before. Keep in mind, folks, this was Grant Nelson's this was actually the day my son was born. This was Grant Nelson's first time back after the knee bruise. Had 8 minutes and four fouls. Like, really, basically wasn't available. And they didn't have Andrew Morgan. So you're in a situation where UST already had major problems with the length of the Bison. And now you get their two longest and strongest dudes back, in the strongest dude probably being Andrew Morgan, and the longest dude obviously being Grant Nelson. Just an impossible matchup for these guys. I mean, really, really, really tough. It would push the Bison to 10-4 in the league with the big UMKC Oral Roberts game on Saturday. And the reason that's big is a UMKC win gives the Bison second place. An ORU win, basically, in my opinion, would lock the Bison into the number three seed at worst, in my opinion. And you'd be playing the late game on Sunday. You avoid the 4-5 matchup. You end up playing the same team on Monday. You would have either way. You're just going to end up playing Oral Roberts. So it's not a huge difference. It's just that day of rest that you are so much striving for. And, Nate, how do they get that? Just win, baby. NDSU controls their destiny for the number two seed, because if they win out, even if Oral Roberts beats South Dakota State and beats UMKC and beats USD, which in my opinion they will not do, but even if all of those things happen, if the Bison win out and get to 14-4, they will have swept Oral Roberts and will hold the tiebreaker and will be the number two seed, period.
Yeah, and it makes these next important games just as important. So I one game at a time, let's get this last road win. I think these seniors and hopefully the Bison Nation will be ready to send them out the way they should be on Thursday and Saturday with their last two home games. It's getting close to March, and it's time to get excited and be ready for some postseason action. And there's nothing more exciting than being in a race. Thursday's game, if they win Saturday, could be another 20-win season. So It's an exciting times. We're getting towards the middle of February and getting close to that conference tournament, which we all look forward to, because ultimately the goal at the start of the year is to get back to that big dance, and there's nothing more exciting than
No, that. And fun enough for Coach Richmond is we've got some details from the forums, Mike McFeely, on Coach's new contract. Gets a bonus of 20 wins. Gets a bonus at 25 wins. And if you find folks can do the math, hey, Nate, what's 4 wins to close out the regular season and 3 wins in Sioux Falls?
Might be.
Ah, there you go. Get that money, Dave. Get that money, baby. So, still a carrot at the end of the stick financially for Coach Richmond as well. And hey, with all the injuries that NDSU faced early on in the season and stuff like that, their net ranking is not great. They win this tournament, Sioux Falls might be playing in Dayton, Ohio on Tuesday with a chance for a third, and we're just going to count them like that, third NCAA tournament victory in school history, because they might be a 16 and they might not be a great 16. Just with the way that this season has gone, I think we all feel like they're a better squad than that, but ultimately it is what it is. When they don't have a great win, like a truly great win. They just don't have one. Might end up being a lower 16 seed if they are able to get all of these things accomplished that we would certainly like to see. Nate, thank you so much for your time today, buddy. We want to thank Big Deck Barbecue for their sponsorship and all their support. We want to thank Herd and Horns as well. Get to Herd and Horns before the Thursday or after the Thursday and Saturday games this upcoming week. And we will talk to you again early on in the week to preview the rest of this season's games and also to probably beg you to go because Rocky and Tyree and Sam deserve it, period. So, that's what that's what it's all about, is sending these guys out the right way. And coach has made a big deal out of that, and we're going to make a big deal out of it next week as well. All right, folks, we'll see you next week, and go Bison.